but it's right here at all the holidays. And Thanksgiving is a holiday where we do what? We thank. Christmas is a time where we thank God. And so over the next few weeks, maybe all the way, I don't know how long it's going to take because I never really know how long it's going to be until we get through with it. But we're going to do who God is. Who is God? You know, everybody has their idea who God is, but I want you to see biblically what the Bible says about God. So let's first go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for this night, this chance, Lord, to make a difference, Lord, to learn of you, Father. And Father, to step out of, Lord, out of our comfort zones, Lord, and our ideologies, Lord, and trust your word to tell us and to show us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Minister mightily to us and through us this night. And would you just pray in the church said, amen. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. You look great, sister. No, you're not getting in trouble. Yeah. So the cat gets the vote, right? The cat gets to decide and vote. All right. Okay, look. People of all ages, all lifestyles, all arenas of life, they all ask the same question. Does God know me? Does God love me? Can God ever forgive me? I've talked to some guys that have come back from overseas, and they'll ask me, every last one of them after they come back from overseas, ask me, do you think God can ever forgive me for the stuff that I've done? And I tell them, the Bible says, render unto God what's God and what Caesar's is Caesar's. And I said, once you signed that contract and you went overseas, you needed to render under Caesar what was Caesar's. Not only that, but when you go overseas, remember this, as a military man or whatever you're doing, especially as a military or a policeman, is this, that in the Old Testament it said, thou shalt not kill. That's premeditated murder. In the Old Testament, there's three exceptions for murder. Three. Or for killing, not murder. Three exceptions for killing. Number one, defense of your home. Number two, defense of your country. You think we went to the promised land and it said boo and everybody ran? Okay? All right. Defense of your home, defense of your country, and capital punishment. That's all throughout the Old Testament. And the way it works is when you go from the Old Testament to New Testament, if there's a law written in the Old Testament that's not superseded by a law in the New Testament, then the Old Testament law stands. Always remember that. So I had one guy literally, I was at a barbecue, and I had no idea this guy was even thinking this. And this guy comes up to me, and we had a few minutes, just us. Everybody walked off, and the first thing he asked me was, do you think God will ever forgive me for all I've done? He was a Marine sniper. He said, do you think God will ever forgive me? And when I told him that, he started crying. And he said, that's the first peace I've had since I've come back. Once he realized. The same way I have people, even some of the guys, you think these guys are high rollers, these are the big guys, you know, had a vice president fountain, pulled me in his office, said, please shut that door. And I'd never even talked to him much. I bet I hadn't said five words to the guy. And he pulls me in his office and says, shut the door. And I was wondering, am I in trouble? I'm just walking by. David, can you come off? Shut the door, please. Now. Oh, yeah. But when I shut the door, it wasn't about anything about work. Do you think God can forgive me? Do you think God can work in my situation? And I said, it's not what I think, it's what I know. What the Bible says is what we can know. So again, can God ever forgive me? Underneath these questions lies a more important basic issue. What is God really like? Who is he? Now remember, this is going to be good several weeks going. I don't know how many, but you can figure for at least maybe through November. All right? Do you know what your name means? We talked about it Sunday morning with Mara and Naomi. Do you know what your name means literally? Does it convey something about you? Now, in biblical times, the Hebrew name of a person often conveyed a significant message. A name may represent something specific, such as a physical characteristic or an incident at birth or an anticipated future accomplishment. So in the Bible, much is revealed about God through his various names. However, unless you are reading from Hebrew text, some of God's attributes are as revealed in his names as buried in the translation. So that's why we're going to talk about this. I'm going to really get down deep and let us see who is God. First, some say God is a cosmic killjoy. You ever heard somebody talk about that? God just don't want anybody to have fun. He wrote that Bible trying to aggravate people. He just doesn't want us to get along and have do what we want to do. You know, so he's a cosmic killjoy. Is this true? Or does his laws and principles serve as a protective hedge around us than a prison that confines us? When you drive 55 out there, you go look in a place and it says, I've seen recently, especially when I went up to New England, slow children playing or deaf children, the yellow sign, deaf children. Let me know there might be some kids running out in front of the road because they can't hear the car coming. Yeah. Slow children playing or ice, the bridge freezes before the road does. Why? Because there's air under the bridge. Water comes down and there's nothing to warm it up. And so you can hit that bridge and you might go over and make a dip. So all this stuff is good. A 55 mile an hour speed limit is good because if everybody's riding 75, 80, 90, 100 miles an hour down this road, somebody could get killed. My solution to that is move the deer crossing sign. Move it to a place that's lit and driving slow, didn't it? Okay, so again, is he some distant, unknowable king demanding servitude? And I'm going to tell you what some of the people over the years have said about God in the next few messages. And when I tell you, it's going to kind of blow you away how some people see God. Is he some distant, annoying king demanding servitude, or is he a God who's involved in day-to-day existence of his creative beings? He's with us every day. He sees us every day. He's watching us. He's helping us. You have no idea how many angels have been dispatched just today to help you. You have no idea how many times in the last couple weeks you could have died instantly, but he detoured that wreck. When I got hit, that they hit on. You know, if it hadn't been for that BMW in front of me, he grazed that BMW. If it hadn't been for grazing that BMW, he'd have hit me head on. But he hit me like this. And just before he hit me, and it weren't because of the BMW, just before he hit me, I saw the brightest flash of light. Somebody tried to say that was the airbag going off. I said, no, I saw this before he hit me. I saw him, and I saw him coming at me, and I was trying to reconcile in my mind, why is this man on my side of the road, and why is he going so fast? And I couldn't even hit the brake. I didn't move that fast. But I saw a brilliant flash of light. I kept asking everybody afterward, what was that brilliant flash of light? I know what it was. It was God sent an angel. And he put his hand down there and said, you're not taking him today. Oh yeah, I've seen it happen many times. I felt when I had that sleep apnea, and I just had my sleep study. I had sleep apnea; it was really, really bad. And I fell asleep on Valentine's Day. We were on a Tuesday night. We were going to have a Valentine cake. I went and had the cake made, and we were going to have it. It said John 3:16, God's Valentine to us. We had it in that back room. I was driving home, and on the way home, I fell asleep behind the wheel. And when I woke up, there was a humongous dump truck. It just pulled out in front of me. I had almost a possum track, and I slammed on brakes, and I knew I was going to go up under him. And by the time I got ready to hit him, and as God is my witness, by the time I got ready to hit him, he just looked like somebody he just pushed him. He just jumped ahead. And I stopped. The cake was in the floor. I had to pick the cake back up, and then had to kind of patch it back together. And the guy was actually delivering dirt to where my uncle is next door. So when I pulled up, he saw my car. He started pointing at my car, and I know what I was saying. He thought, because it looked like I was getting ready to go out of here. God sends his angels. We don't know how many times a day he sends angels to help us. Okay? Some see him as Santa, and this is where the prosperity gospel gets it all wrong. Some see him as Santa bringing gifts to excited children. You listen to some of these prosperity preachers on TV, and they'll have you thinking God's just waiting for you to give him an order. You know, I like Amazon because Amazon, I'm in the Prime, Amazon Prime, and still most stuff I want, I can order and have it here in 2 days. And I needed a guitar tuner. And so I sat there Sunday, and I ordered, I think I even ordered it while I was riding down the road to Charlotte. No, DC was driving. No, I weren't driving, I was in the back seat. And I ordered it on the way to Charlotte, and I just got a text saying it was delivered to my house this afternoon. Well, they do have drones now, and they're practicing drones, using drones, and if they get a drone, they can get to you in hours, not days. Hours, but probably going to be expensive. That's awesome. That's awesome. God sent his angel. God sent his angel. That's right. That's right. I did forget these two, read these two right here. We just see scriptures up here. Back up a little bit. Proverbs 9 and 10 says, "Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. They that know your name, who have experienced and have an acquaintance with your mercy, will lean on and confidently put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek, inquire of, or for you on the authority of God's word and the right of their necessity." I like this version right here. It says, "The moment you arrive, you relax. You're never sorry you're not. The moment he comes in, it's like you said, you can be in the hospital and you're needing Frankie. When she come in, I bet you felt relaxed. You know, I remember when I had my nose operated on, they added an inch. When I had my septum worked on, the doctor told me, said, we have a problem waking y'all guys up, sleep apnea guys. He says, so he put some extra stuff up. He had some extra stuff, and I even asked the guys, why does that big thing there? And he goes, I don't know. The doctor said you needed it. I'm thinking, y'all aren't making me feel good. You're getting hooked this into me and don't even know what it is. And when I woke up, I heard him say, "Wake up, wake up." And all I could say is the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. And I really felt kind of weird till I got to the room and I saw Linda and I saw DC and I saw Daniel and I think Bethany was there. And, I think Tamala. Once I saw everybody, everything's out of my mouth. Proverbs 18 and 10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The consistently righteous man, upright and in right standing with God, runs into it and is safe, high above evil and strong. Here's, I love this. God's name is a place of protection. Good people can run there and be safe. So let's go in here. So in the middle of that next paragraph, who is God? The Bible tells us God is the one supreme being, the creator and controller of the universe, who personally intervenes in human life. I'm going to explain how some people see God in later nights, but this is just get us started, okay? Isaiah 46, 9 through 11 says, I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I made known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, I will do all that I please. From the east I summon a bird of prey, from a far off land a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that will I bring about, and what I have planned, that will I do. The reason God can tell you all about what's already happened at the end is because he's above time. He's beyond time. To him, all the time that's on this earth, he sits back and looks at it. It's like this. He looks at all that time and goes, yeah, I know what's going to happen, so I'm going to go back here and tell these people what's going to happen here, and vice versa. So let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Hebrews 4:16. So, get ready. Here we go. In the Greek, the word for God is theos. And that's where we get the word theology. Whenever you have an ology, it's the study of something. Ology, zoology, whatever. Think of whatever you want to say. And biology is rheumatology. You know, study of arthritis. Again, theo, God. Is the study of God. Our theology constitutes the way we think about God and our relationship to him. So, there's only two kinds of theology. Only two kinds. The one which lines up with the Word of God and the one that doesn't. Kind of cut and dry, isn't it? A lot of people, a lot over the years, have come to me and I'll be counseling with them or talking with them, and they can't find any peace in their life. The reason they can't find any peace in their life is because they weren't basing their life on what the Word said. They were basing their life on what their grandmama had told them all their life, and their mama, and their aunt, or somebody had told them all their life. This is what the Bible says. They didn't check it for themselves and find out they were actually trying to adhere to a theology that did not line up with God's Word. That's an important thing to think about. So either it's lined up with God's Word or man's words and ideas, right? So when somebody comes and says, well, you know what the Bible says? I had a guard one time at Procter & Gamble. Come in and said, preacher, tell them people what the Bible says. The Bible says birds of a feather flock together. Birds of a feather flock together is not in the Bible. Okay? Hey, look. And also it says, I mean, I had somebody come to me and say, I've heard this a million times. What it say? The Bible says that at the end of days you wouldn't be able to tell what season is except for by the blooming of the fig tree. That's not what it says. At all. What it says is Jesus was talking about the end times. And it says, see right here? See the fig tree blooming? You know that summer's nigh. And when you see this stuff start to happen, Israel rise up and become a nation again. And all this stuff that coming and hating after them, coming after them, and Iran and Iraq, all this stuff lining up against them. When you see this stuff coming, know that my coming is nigh. It's got nothing to do with telling the seasons but by the blooming of the fig tree. If you live in North Carolina, you never could tell the seasons except for by the blooming of the fig tree. Okay? So, people are basing their theology on some of the craziest, craziest myths. All right? So remember, you can base your theology on man's words and ideas, or you can look what the Word of God says and rightly divide what the Word of God says, and you'll find peace in your heart. Even when it contradicts what you want to hear, it still brings you peace because it's God's Word. So first, theology. Now, secondly, theocracy. I want you to think about something. I'm going to tell you a little story about theocracy. Theocracy is a government by God's direct rule over a nation or people. or his rule through his chosen representatives who were God's spokesmen, and by judges who were God's chosen deliverers. 1 Samuel 8. The Bible says, when Samuel was old, he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second, Abijah, and they were judges in Beersheba. His sons did not walk in his ways, but turned aside and gained, took bribes, and perverted justice. All the elders of Israel assembled and came to Samuel and Ramah, and they said unto him, Behold, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now therefore appoint us a king to rule over us like other nations. What's the difference in a theocracy and when a king is taken? What's when a king rules, what's it called? A monarchy. One. When nobody rules is called, or when everybody does their own thing, anarchy. Monarchy, king. He wanted to be a theocracy. A theocracy is God ruled. Right? So now, here we go. It would displease Samuel when he said, Give us a king to govern us. And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, Hearken to the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not be king over them. According to all the works which they have done since I brought them out of Egypt, even this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they also do to you. So listen now to their voice. Only solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them. Then so Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. And he said, There will be ways of the king who shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to the chariots and to be horsemen and to run before the chariots. He will appoint for them commanders over the thousands and fifties. And on down the line, your daughters will take to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers. And he goes on down the line to all the things that's going to happen. Nevertheless, in verse 19, the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel and said, No, we will have a king over us. So we'll be like the other nations, that our king may govern us and go out before us and fight our battles. Now, that's about what's happening now. Now, we have a democracy. The people rule. And that's a good thing. But at the same time, up until a few years ago, God was in charge of the people. People followed his word. They wanted to please him. But the older we get and the farther we get along, they do their best to take God out or try to politically correct and say just coexist with all the other religions. And so they make our God one of many. It says here, I am the only self-created God. So, again, it's going around in circles. It's starting to happen again in a different way. We have the democracy, but it was a democracy built on theology. It was a democracy built on God. If you look at the founding fathers, all their documents that all had to do about God, and they've gone through the books, and they don't even teach this stuff anymore because if they teach it, they can't escape that the forefathers were Christians and they won this. Every other country was built because they went looking for gold. The United States was built because they came looking for God. All right, so here, in the Greek, theos. In the Hebrew, the basic word for God is El. The word El is found in many ways throughout the Old Testament. El raises God high, reflecting his power. El emphasizes God's might and power. You know, we talk about the United States and Russia, too, and China now. Three very strong superpowers. I don't know the exact way it goes now because I haven't looked for it in a couple of years. But you know who the number one superpower was us. You know who the number two superpower was? Israel. Israel had the greatest army with the smallest, little bitty thing. Okay? But they were God's people. God was taking care of them. So now, you got Russia, you got the United States, superpowers. But God says, that's nothing. I can flick those nuclear bombs. Nothing. God is all power. It says in Matthew 28, all power is given unto me. Jesus said that. Y'all go out and do these things. I got all power. I'm giving it to you. I mean, he's given us authority to use his power. That's powerful. We, as Azusia is authority. He says, all power, dunamis, is given unto me, and so I give it unto you, and I give you all authority to use my power. So, Hell, when combined with other words, further identifies the nature and the function of God. It's not a violent power, but it's a profound power. So this is a compound name. I'm just going to give you one example, and next week we'll go into it. Elohim. That's God's first name shown in the Bible. Genesis chapter 1 and 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God. Wow. That's pretty tight. In the beginning, God. It didn't say in the beginning, God and the Democrats. In the beginning, God and the Republicans. In the beginning, God and Donald Trump. In the beginning, created the heavens and the earth. Elohim. And again, we'll talk about that stronger next week. I just wanted to stop there. So, and Eddie and I were talking about it today. And so let's give you one compound word to get you started. And you can look it up yourself and figure it all out too. But and again, anytime you got any questions, you're free to ask. And if I can't give you the answer tonight, I'll look it up and I'll give you the answer when I do look it up. But who is God? Go ahead. Oh, wow. And I have no idea what you're talking about. And you know it's God because I have no idea what you're studying. That's awesome. That's right. That's right. That's right. So remember, hopefully by the time we get through this, you'll not only have a better understanding of who God is, your faith will be boosted and bolstered. Because right now, honestly, Donald Trump can't solve our problems. Neither can Hillary. Definitely, we've seen that the Congress can't. They can't even get along long enough to do anything. The only person that can get us out of this mess is God. And like I told you last Sunday, even if the person you're not wanting gets in office, that doesn't stop God from being. God used kings to rebuild his land. God used kings to send his people out of captivity. He changed their hearts. If God can do that, God can do this. So ultimately, we're covered. We just might have to go, we might be planning on going this way and we might have to go that way. And Sunday, we're trying something new. We're going to start something new. Maybe we'll do it every first Sunday from here on out. I don't know, but, something called Praise Unplugged. And if we get it right, all the musicians will be sitting up here on the front and the singers, and we're going to be sitting on stools. And we're going to do all acoustic. I got my acoustic bass. We've got all acoustic instruments. And if Daniel's here, I got him coming an acoustic drum. It's a box, a drum box. And so the first Sunday of every month, from here on out, looks like it's going to be Praise Unplugged, meaning no power. It's all, if there is power, it's just us, we can hear things. So it's not going to be like real loud. It's just going to be just regular guitars. So that's going to be pretty cool. Yeah. So Sunday morning, you see anybody tell them, you know, it's kind of like the Eagles. When the Eagles had their tour, when they had their last tour before what's-his-name died, if you'd watch the Eagles, they would all line up on stage and they all had their acoustics. Of course, we're not trying to copy the Eagles. That's just that come to my mind right then. I was talking about this, but DC and I on the way up to Charlotte, there was 5 hours where mainly it was DC and Bethany talking, big brother, little sister, and then on the way back it was big daddy and big son, and we talked on the way back, and we talked about that. So It's going to be fun. She called me this morning. Yeah, she called me this morning. She said, I hate to ask you again. Because yesterday DC called. He had a $20,000 machine that never worked right anyway. This thing will cut I-beams. This is a big machine. And they told him to get an electrician, and they would pay for it. And so they got an electrician, and it still didn't work right. And I went and looked at it, and it was so wired so wrong. It was mirror image to the schematic. And so everything was wired wrong. And so I went and started wiring some stuff back according to the schematic. I said, DC, son, this is absurd. This is a new machine. They need to fix it. So they sent a man down yesterday who had been in the Royal English Navy. He's in his 70s. He was an engineer on an aircraft carrier. And he couldn't get any power to the machine. So DC called and said, Dad, I need power to the machine. So I run over there, and we got power to the machine. And so then today, Amy says, I can't believe it. Said, I looked up and my ceiling fan was going. And said, Sierra came and said, Mama, my bathroom lights are going. And what happened was he had hooked up a generator during the bad storm, and he didn't get stuff back in right. And so I went and put everything back in right. But it was still, I worked on it hot. And so for a while, I couldn't see out of this eye. Because even though I was putting stuff in right, it still had a spark there. And it was like, yeah, but it's okay. So, yeah, we're without a shield. And so I asked him before I came here, was everything fine? He said, yes, it's running, it's fine. And so, yeah. So if you haven't seen anything else about it, I reckon it's okay. DC hadn't told me anything else about it. I asked him, how's it running? He says, running fine. She was pitiful, you know. And she said, I have no idea. The light company's come out here and said, their part's fine. I have no idea what's going on. I said, I'll be right there. And on the way there, I said, wait a minute. DC hooked up a generator. That's what it was. And what was really funny is I'm going to ask him right now. Hey, buddy, you still have power? Okay. I told DC, I said, when he told me what he had done, how he hooked up the generator, I said, why didn't you call me, son? He said, Dad, you were in the room. I said, oh, okay, now I feel better about it, because normally he calls me for stuff like this. Most of my kids call me now. Daniel is better at electrical. DC's a mastermind when it comes to metal and design. When it comes to electrical, I'm taking his card away from him. And Daniel's better at electrical than the metal. But Daniel and Nick, I said, I could send them also here and do electrical work to show them what I want done. I said, but Sam and DC, you can turn it off. But Sam and DC call me. I went over the other day and helped Sam. He had an outside light on. It was not working, and he said, I can't get power to it. He had stuff tore all apart outside, and I went out and said, the reason you're not getting anything is because you got the wrong stuff unplugged, and you're going to electrocute you and the kids. How about back off? All right, so that's all hearts and mind clear. There's a disclaimer there. DC, Sam, if you're watching this, I didn't say anything other than what I said. Any hearts of mine clear? All right, let's pray. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and mercy. I thank you for these wonderful people. I thank you that you're working through them and to them and for them, Lord. And I thank you, God, that you're going to use them mightily. And Lord, there's a lot more work that's got to be done. And Father, help them to help people like they're being helped by you you use them to help others. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And y'all want to go see some pretty work, go back there and look where we're going to have the library. Ben and Jerry went back there today and worked on it. You're able to see it. You're able to see it. Ben and Jerry. Ice cream. No, Ben and Eddie. Ben and Eddie. Y'all got there and look. If y'all want to see something, they haven't got it going yet, but they got it tore out and working on putting it back up. There's some good work in there. They did some awesome work.